Welcome to Local Licks. I'm Pat McLaughlin, and my very, very special guest is one of the best cover bands in all of Central Ohio. It's These Guys Live.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. She loves to laugh. She loves to sing. She does everything. She loves to move. She loves to groove. She loves to
guys, boy, I'll tell you, that's a great recording. I'm just telling you right off the bat, that is super. I want to hear about that recording, but let's get you guys all introduced here. Everybody, this is Pat McLaughlin of the Local Licks. In the house is These Guys Live, one of the best cover bands in all of the Central Ohio area. Guys, do you mind just kind of, you got them all memorized, shoot your names out to everyone.
Michael Doctor, I'm the singer.
Matt Venus, guitar.
Mike Keller, guitar.
Michael Contras, keyboards.
And Michael, since you just ended up that introduction, can you tell us a little bit about that great recording you guys cover on Journey? Because that is a that's a hard song to do.
Thank you. Well, we can attribute the quality of the recording to our sound man, Ross Davis.
Okay.
Who has been with us for about 3 years now. And this recording was done in December of 2013.
Part of a QFM promotion, right?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
We were doing a New Year's Eve party with them.
All right.
They were the sponsors, and they wanted us to come into the studio to promote the show, and said, if you guys want, we can have you do a couple of tunes. And we said, okay. So knowing that they didn't have enough equipment to handle, four voices and, two guitars, bass, keyboards, drums, and all that. We went ahead and brought our gear.
Yeah.
Our stage gear. And then Ross brought in basically all of our in-ear mixes, and he brought in a way to give them a feed.
Wow.
And so he did the mixing. And
he mixed off of the studio
he
itself.
Mixed, exactly. Holy he mixed Toledo. It. He mixed it for the audience, the live audience, and then he also gave us our in-ear mixes.
Gents, he's worth every penny you're paying.
He's absolutely worth it. He's the seventh member of TGI. Actually.
Yeah, and in fact, as we're going to learn about your backgrounds, but part of my research is I did see where you treat your sound man as an equal employee, and I fully support that proposition. That, in my mind, is a way to run a band.
He's spoiled us, is bottom line.
Yeah, and he is. If you get the right sound man, he is an equal partner in all aspects of it. Ours is the same way. We actually pay him the same. He is a vote. He's a player.
Right.
He's part of it.
What's really great about Ross is he is so comfortable around us. And I find that to be just fascinating because he makes us feel at home with him.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also comfortable, I suspect, that if you're too loud on stage or you're doing something that he needs for you to back it down,
right.
A tendency that almost every player does, you have to have that rapport. He has to respect you, and you guys have to respect him. So
right.
I've taken a lot of notes on all of the neat things I know about your band and how you run your band, and I will just flat out tell you that throughout this, I'm going to be telling the audience that this is a tutorial, that you guys do such a great job of managing your band and doing the things that I think are on the right track. So we'll be coaching other players today. Michael, you're up.
Well, I just want to say that we do take great pride in being punctual, being professional. We have a great time. Don't get me wrong. This is a fun job, but it is a job, and we treat it like that.
Right.
We want the venue owners, and we want the audience just to have a great time. And in order to give them a great time, we have to treat it as a job.
That's right.
And we do.
That's exactly right. And there are so many nuggets that I've learned from about you guys. I can't wait to go into some of those details. You were on the mic, Michael. This is Michael Doctor, everybody, the lead vocalist. Get a little background, if I may.
Well, my background, I was singing when Elvis Presley was popular. My parents bought me a ukulele, and I used to stand in front of a mirror and sing with Elvis Presley albums.
Really?
I owned every one.
Every mirror?
Every
yes, that every
okay. Yes, that's very probable. I owned every Elvis Presley album that was out there, and I got it the first day they came out. And if you all know how those became collector's items, I was smart enough to sell those at a garage sale for about 12 cents a piece.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, I'd like to have those back. Whoever has them, please.
And I just promoted you guys as good businessmen.
All right. Hey, I was young.
You also did work in a band called Felony.
That's correct, yes.
And tell us a little background. And I think your partner in crime over here is in Felony too, right?
Well, actually, no. Rick Anderson, our bass player.
Oh, gotcha. My apologies. Okay.
He and I were in the band together. We did pretty much what we're doing now. It was classic music for then, and I'm glad to say that there are no recordings.
Oh, are you an actor also?
I have done a little acting, but that is something I don't really
talk about. Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up.
My career didn't pan out. Let's just say that.
And you worked with Stephanie Iannarino for a while.
Yes, Stephanie, who is one of the most incredibly talented sopranos in town, she invited me to sing on her debut CD, and we did a duet called The Prayer, which is an operatic song. I think Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli recorded that. And we replicated that, and I'm quite proud of that.
She's on her way in Broadway.
She is, without a doubt, going to be somebody that makes it. She dances. She sings. The last I heard, she was on a Disney cruise line performing there. But she's based out of New York, so she's in the right place for what she wants to do.
Yeah, I have heard her sing. You're absolutely right. One of the most prolific voices out of this area. You are so correct on that. So that's a nice wagon to be attached to. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Matt Venus is one of two lead guitar players in your band. And Matt, you're the newest guy.
I'm the new guy.
You're the new guy on the boat. Tell us a little bit about your history.
So I started playing when I was 19, for a band in town here that lasted about 15 years called Sybil.
Oh, wow.
And then when Sybil got done, it was very much classic rock.
Yeah.
So when Sybil got done, I kind of started getting jobs backing up kind of some of the bigger female singers here in town, like Mimi Rousseau and Don McGavrow, and started kind of going out of what I was used to and learning, you know, just learning the ropes.
You were learning
players
from two extraordinarily.
Absolutely.
Man,
oh,
man.
I feel lucky to have played with both of them.
Both of them have appeared on Local Licks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd encourage everyone to hear their stories.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I did. But what ended up happening was I ended up getting in band after band of music that was just so different from what I liked that I got so far away from what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
That when these guys came around,
the opportunity was there.
Yeah, there it was. I wasn't going to pass that one up.
Yeah. Yeah, so how long have you been with the unit?
It's been 6 months now.
Oh, you are really?
I'm new, very new. 6 months, okay. I think it was June was my audition.
Okay. Well, you picked a good band to hop on. So,
I agree.
You know, guys. Oh, go ahead, Michael. Yeah.
We put them under the fast track learning process. We gave him 80 some songs to learn, and I think you learned them in less than 3 weeks. So
really?
That was pretty impressive.
Matt, that is extraordinarily impressive.
It went quick, but I had a lot of help. Contras, I'm sorry. Michael Contras.
Yes.
No, Mike helped me tremendously with the vocals because that was just something. This band, I have never done this many vocals in my life.
Oh,
so that was the hard part for me. But the music was
it
wonderful because it just, you know, you grow up with
it. Yeah, you guys really did. You found the groove. That's so important. Listen, we've already burned through this first segment. I mean, these go fast, guys. And so we've got two more Michaels to share with you, everybody. But we're going to pick them up after we take our first break. Everyone, you're listening to Local Licks. I'm Pat McLaughlin. We'll be back after these words from our sponsor. She said, hi. Hey, hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. Everybody, welcome back to Local Licks. I'm Pat McLaughlin. I'm the lead vocalist of the Gas Pump Jockeys. I'm also proud to say that I'm also now a member of the classic rock band The Circle, and we'll be telling you more about that in future shows. So my guest in the studio today is These Guys Live. Wonderful, wonderful guys. And let me just tell you, they get along so well. During these commercials, we're laughing a lot and making fun of everybody, including me. of which you can talk to them offline about some of the the commentary. But we're going to do something very self-serving, guys, very, very quickly. And that's everyone who's listening to the program right now. If you're listening on a computer or a Mac or you've got a smartphone, all you need to do, if you would, is to go to the Facebook page and open up Local Licks. That's Local L-I-X. And you'll see a like button as soon as you do. And that's all you have to do. It'll only take you 5 seconds to like us. And if you're out there doing that, you might also do that for the Gas Pump Jockeys. That's another 5 seconds of your life. And then you guys got web pages. Why don't you pitch it real quick here?
We have a web page and a couple other social media presence. Our web site is theseguyslive.com.
Oh boy, that's great.
And from our website, you'll be able to access our YouTube page and our Facebook page. There's links
absolutely
to all that good
and
stuff.
I have been to that page. Well put together. I don't know which way was that you, Michael?
Yes, thank
oh
you.
Yeah,
yes.
That's Michael Keller that's speaking, another lead guitar player. And you guys do a superb job.
Thank you very
and
much.
Since you're on there, Michael, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about you? Because we were doing introductions before we went on the break. Tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I started playing guitar after I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and decided that's what I wanted to do with my life.
Yep. Welcome to the club, man.
A lot of us in that era felt the same way. I played through high school in a couple of local bands. You're from Whitehall. Yeah. I was from Whitehall. I played in a band called The Collection.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, sure.
Did a lot of the stuff with Whitehall High School and in Whitehall. And after school, I joined a couple of people that Michael Doctor went to high school with from Walnut Ridge and did a multi-state kind of a travel round and play bars for a couple
sure
years.
Out of state?
Out of state, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, you're on the road.
Yeah, on sort of. We had bars in Des Moines, Iowa, and Indianapolis, and West Virginia. Kind of close by, but not necessarily all in Ohio.
Did you like being on the road?
It was always fun to go and always fun to get back. I enjoyed it while I was there, but I was always glad to get back home when I got back home.
Oh, absolutely. And you say that Mr. Doctor here actually graduated from high school? Is that what you're telling me?
There's no proof of that.
Yeah. So, I've heard that was the best 7 years of his life. So, is that true?
Let me count to seven here. Wait a moment.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It might have been seven, but...
He's already starting to take off his shoes. That's a bad sign. So last but not least is Michael Contras, and you're the keyboard player for the band.
That's correct.
We'd like to know a little bit about some of your impressive, both on the band and off the band.
Well, got started back when most of these guys got started. I'm a tad older.
Okay.
Probably the first most recognizable band that I was in back in the 60s was the Dubonnets.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We played,
did
Jerry Razor's Dance Party. We did a lot of the those kind of sock hops and things.
So
you know,
you were on
we were young.
You were on
we
Dance
were,
Party.
We, there was two 16-year-olds and four 14-year-olds. Four 14-year-olds in the band.
Is that right?
When I got in. So
the Dubonnets have a rather prolific little reputation put together.
And then, that morphed into two or three different bands over those years.
Yeah.
And then finally I'm going to say the middle 70s, it was a band called Reflection that lasted for about 7 or 8 years.
I remember the Reflection band name. And yeah, then, I don't know if I saw you or not in those days.
Probably were around for 7 or 8 years.
We're having a little fun, I think, at your expense.
I'm wondering what it is.
It's Rick. I mean, it's Mike. I'm sorry.
What's the is there a picture
it's,
there?
It's hard to get the names wrong, Pat. There's Mike.
Screwed it up.
Oh, that's Mr. Everybody. That's not my expense. That's Mr. Keller's expense.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, and the only reason we're having some off, so we'll get back to your story a little bit more. But they've handed an old picture of one of your bands called Jackal.
That's correct.
A promo video and I mean a photo and man, did you have hair?
Still does.
Yeah, you're lucky to still have hair, but man, that is some long hair. So we were teasing a little. Yes. So if you heard a little giggle behind Michael Contra's story, but you were the Reflection,
and then in between those times, I toured with Jesus Christ Superstar for a little while.
What, Jimmy Deutsch's product? Is that the one? You're on?
No, this was a National Rock Opera Company. We were the ones that. Went to court against Robert Stigwood organization and won.
So that we won
so that we could continue to do the tour
because
they tried to shut us down and it didn't work, you know. And so
you were on the road then.
We were on the road,
taking us all over the place.
When Mr. Keller was talking about being on the road, I'm thinking, yeah, it's not all it's cracked up to be when you're out there for months at a time, you know.
Yeah, it's physically demanding. And in your case, in those days, it wasn't do 2 or 3 shows and come back home.
No.
You'd go for 2 or 3
and 4 weeks. We would do 6 shows a week.
Yeah.
And you're on a bus in between shows. And sometimes it's a Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, Sunday night or Saturday night, and then a Sunday afternoon all in one show. And that was probably the most you'd be in one town.
Yeah.
So, it was a grueling tour.
It's a hard life. I know it looks very fun to you listening, what it's like to be in a band, even at the local level, the work you guys do, because most of us have to move our gear in. Most of us have to take the gear back home. I'm making an assumption. Do you have roadies? I don't.
No.
No, I don't know too many.
You're looking
at the roadies, as we are in our unit. And so there's more work almost to do than pre and post show.
We always laugh. We say, you know, we get paid to set up and tear down our gear. The music part is the fun part. That's,
you do that for free.
I'm not going to say that now. You know that you can just know there's going to be that one club owner. Hey, I heard you guys will play for free. You know?
Yeah. These guys live moving company. Yeah. We should said it was a 2 guys in a truck. You guys can go to compete against them. So this wonderful unit comes together about almost 10 years ago. I mean, just in the fact that you guys are about to celebrate a milestone as a unit, 10 years. But when was the early days? When was it like? Most of you, Matt, you're the only new.
I'm the only new.
Yeah, so the other three can answer this.
Actually, I came in 2011, and the band got started in April of 2007.
Michael Keller and I are the founding members, I guess.
That's correct. Yeah.
This started out just as a Sunday afternoon jam session.
Correct.
I got the word that these guys were playing, and I hadn't really done anything for several years, really since Felony. And I was asked to come over. Hey, come on over and jam. And I did. And 5 songs later, we started These Guys Live.
You know, you should have been just stunned at his voice, though.
Oh, absolutely was.
I mean, you didn't expect that. Did you know each other prior to that moment?
No, we didn't. No.
This is one powerful vocalist.
Yes. No, he was recommended from a mutual friend.
Okay.
And he's an amazing vocalist.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I really agree. I some of the things I've heard, can't believe it. So then who else was in the band? Was there any of the other members at that time?
We had a gentleman by the name of Bob Grover that played guitar and did vocals.
Okay.
Joe Holton, who played with us up till 2014, was the drummer.
Okay.
Keyboard player Brian Linehauser and bassist Fletch Sears.
So both Rick and Marty, Rick Anderson and Marty Brazington, were not original members. You brought them in over time.
Correct.
But this group you have, though, is very, very playful, very tight. You guys really – is this your best lineup in terms of chemistry and
I would say yes.
Camaraderie?
What's really great about our band is we just get along so famously. We have absolutely no drama in our band.
Yeah.
If we're on stage and we're making a mistake, we're laughing about it. We don't, like, chastise somebody for making mistakes, and believe me, the lead singer makes several.
Yeah, he who hasn't sinned can throw the first.
This is true. I own a mic stand. You know, what else do I have?
Yeah. And no, I we sensed it in the lobby. We've sensed it in your videos that I've seen. I'm looking forward to seeing the whole show in person. But you guys do have that wonderful element that the audience sense it. They know you're getting along. And they also know when you would not be getting
along.
It's really, really important. I want to talk about that because I really want to talk about some of the neat things that I've witnessed in my research on you guys and how you go about managing your product. You guys are very much business as well as artistic, and I don't think a lot of people realize that's a big piece of being in a successful band. We have to take some time to pay bills, so everybody will be right back with these guys live. You're listening to Local Licks. I'm Pat McLaughlin. Be back in just a few moments after news and weather. And
Guter Lieben Glatten Globen.
All right! I got something to say! Yeah! It's better than burning out than fading away! All right!
Everybody, welcome back to Local Licks. I'm Pat McLaughlin of the Gas Pump Jockeys and of now The Circle. Very proud of that. I'll share with you all in a little bit down the line. And you've heard just another recording from our very entertaining and jovial group that's in the studio today. These guys live, a lot of fun, extraordinarily talented. And guys, I got a question for you. First of all, we're going back to the second segment there. Michael, you were talking about your youthful days of being on Dance Party of the Dubonnets.
Right.
And what I did during the break was that they were part of that Northland Battle of the Bands.
Yes.
And for historical purposes, can you recreate a little bit of that story? You guys did pretty well.
Yeah, we came in second. It was in 1967, and WCOL
1230
AM yeah. was the sponsor of the band battle.
And everybody and, should know this is a major, major event of the day.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a cornet recording or somebody like that recorded it with, all they did was stick two live microphones out in front of the band, and that's how they recorded
that's
the
how it was done then.
Yeah, there was no drum mics and individual amplifier mics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we almost came in first by default. The group that came in first, 4 o'clock Balloon, who absolutely deserved to be first.
Okay. A great band.
Almost got disqualified because one of the members, I believe was the bass player, was actually a union member, a card-carrying union member.
And why was that important?
And the reason they almost got disqualified was because this was supposed to be amateur bands only. So if you were in the union, you were considered a professional musician.
Okay.
And
okay.
So. But in the end, they made the right choice and had them. They were excellent.
4 o'clock Balloon was a really solid band in those days,
very,
too.
Very, very unique.
So for you to run up number two is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, it surprised us, actually, to be honest with you.
But, yeah, yeah, no, that's really a great story and a great testimony. I'm glad we got that on Local Licks.
Okay.
I'm going to talk a little bit about a number of topics that are kind of related to the music side of things, but also on the business side, if it's all right with you guys. And the first thing I want to give you kudos for, and it shows a couple things. Shows how popular the band is and how hard you work, because you get hired back to a lot of places. But we're cutting this interview in November of 2016. You guys have already got 21 or 22 shows booked for 2017. You've even got a show booked in 18 already.
We actually have two booked in 18 now.
Is that right? I mean, it's amazing, because most of us don't have that many shows in a year. You've already got that many booked. For. So let's talk a little bit about the marketing end of it. Who's doing the work, and what do you guys do? And I mean, because obviously and it's not just in Central Ohio either.
We actually try to get the word out. At first, it was a 2-year struggle, as with most new bands, knocking on a lot of doors and being obnoxious in front of a lot of bar owners. Actually, we beat a couple of them down where they finally said, okay, just stop talking. Come on in and play.
Yeah. Are you the salesperson?
I am now the only salesperson.
Yeah.
Michael Keller has a number of connections in town, so he gets credit for a lot of our bookings that he doesn't really have to work too hard on, which
is
good because he's kind of lazy.
Yeah. No question.
No, he's been lazy for years.
Oh.
He gets the easy ones, but he gets the good ones.
Yeah.
So.
I too do that, and it is a tough job. I mean, for every yes you get, you're probably getting turned down 7 to 10 times.
We get turned down quite a bit.
Yeah.
We don't like that kind of music, or we're not that kind of a bar. Or
we won't fit.
We won't fit, which actually
can
be a real challenge, but we have always found a way. We played in a gazebo that is smaller than
here?
About the size of this little room.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Man.
I was standing right in the entranceway, and if one of the other guys had to get out for any reason, they'd have to climb the railing to get out.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, every time I get turned down, I don't know how your feelings are. I've gotten a little thicker skin over the years.
It's rejection's hard. I don't care. You can say, well, it's part of the business, but rejection's hard. And we're very proud and very fortunate to now get phone calls from the venues that are now calling us saying, hey, we want to get you booked before you fill up.
Right.
And our target's 65 shows a year, and we're on the way to that, and I think we'll probably achieve that, I would think, by the end of January.
So, again, you've just done another good piece of business here. You're actually setting objectives for the band to, in this case, you've set it for 65 shows, which is a lot of work. So the whole band's bought into that. You've discussed that as a unit as to how many shows you want to do.
We have, and I was probably the last holdout. I was really happy with 48 shows.
48?
we discovered that
seems like low to us.
For supply, you know, it's all about supply and demand. And
well, the demand is obviously much.
We absolutely had to increase the number of shows we were willing to do just to accommodate people that we really wanted to keep on our friendly side.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes that's right. You end up with a job that you may stay loyal to. You could perhaps make more elsewhere.
Very true. And I'd say that's one of the really nice things about our band. We are loyal to the people that really helped us get started.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's a very, very important aspect, again, in my opinion. Being true to those that gave you the opportunity when you didn't have opportunities.
We will we'll even recommend other bands if we have a show that we can't do and they're looking for a band. And,
good.
You know, we'll throw a few names out, and usually they'll get a gig out of that recommendation.
And so, obviously, you're doing a lot of clubs and festivals and such, but you've also had some real success with opening acts for some big names. At least in my mind, these are big names. Eddie Money comes to mind. How'd you pull that off?
All right, I'll start it. Somebody else want to join in?
I wasn't in the band with the Eddie Money.
Eddie Money was the Violet Festival. And,
yeah, in Pickerington.
In Pickerington. Michael, help me out.
I can't remember how we got booked on it. I think it was just a cold call from the Violet Festival promoters.
Yeah, good. And, reputation. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Springfield the same way?
Rick Springfield was a little different. That was a show that we were recommended by, of all people, my dentist, who was on the board of that was choosing bands to open. They were going to bring in a regional act to open, and fortunately we befriended the right people and convinced them to let a local cover band open for them. What really I find to be the biggest compliment was Rick's band, including Rick, instead of being back in their dressing room waiting for us to finish, they were all stage left.
Really?
Rocking and rolling to these guys live.
Having a good time.
Yep.
Love it.
They had a great time. We had a great time, and that subsequently led to our second chance to open for them the next year when they came back in town.
Really cool. Now, with Journey and Night Ranger, similar storylines?
That was...
Shadowbox. Shadowbox live downtown.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys that worked at the Shadowbox would often get called to do those kind of pre-concert parties.
Right.
And the guitarist and musical director of Shadowbox is a very good friend of mine. They couldn't make it.
Okay.
And he called me up and said, this might be a great opportunity for you guys. No, you know, question. It's Journey. It's Night Ranger. You guys do Journey and Night Ranger. And, you know, he got us in contact with
them. Amazing. And, but the general theme is we use this again. As I said, we're going to be, you guys are wonderful for teaching other artists what's going on. What you described there is networking. And you knew the right person who helped you, and you probably have helped them at some point in time. And so I would suggest to any band individual, think of joining a band to open your doors and your kimonos up to your peers.
We are one big family in Central Ohio.
Yeah.
If you're in a band, we're your brothers.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Oh, listen, since I'm saying amen, I've got to do a commercial. So, guys, we got one more segment to do. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of these principles that you have lived by. It's why you guys have been together for 10 years. It's really impressive. So, everybody, you're getting a wonderful opportunity to learn how to do it right. This is the band called These Guys Live. We're going to commercial breaks, and we'll be right back after these words. Welcome everybody back to our fourth and last segment with These Guys Alive is our guest today. If you are just joining us, and we've just had a lot of fun. They're very playful. They get along wonderfully, and chemistry in a band is so important. You guys are demonstrating that.
We rehearse every Tuesday night, and our rehearsal time is 6:30 to 9:30. And there have been days that we get in there and we just start carrying on, and we may or may not even strike a note. We're just
having that much fun together.
Until nine o'clock. Mm. We just carry on, and we just tell stories. We do a little bit of band business once in a while, but for the most part, it's just having fun, and we genuinely like each other.
Yeah, right. So important, because it's being in a band is like the closest thing to being in a family that I can think of. And there's families that have dysfunctional moments, and so do bands.
Well, you know, I came in a few years later.
Yeah.
But what struck me about the group, and it struck me even with each evolution, you know, is it seems that the camaraderie is there almost instantaneously, even with the newest member.
Yeah.
You know, when Marty came in, on drums, you know, we were so concerned about, you know, with the personality work, this and that and the other, and
sure.
he's fit right in. Same thing with Rick when he came back in. And then Matt, when Matt came in, Paul decided he wanted to do something different, and Matt came in. Same thing. I mean, it just, I don't know if it's, you know, you wonder how it is that you attract those particular people.
Right.
But a lot of it has to do with the way you are as a band and how you're known as a band to
Amen.
Begin with.
That's right.
So we've been very lucky that with every change.
So another tutorial has just been brought at her, because if you run your band, it's obviously a good entertainment value. People do know when you're not getting along.
They
know.
Yes, they do.
And so do the players in town. So you wouldn't attract.
I think they know quicker than anybody.
They do. And so they know that they're walking into a good environment.
Right. What's really nice about even our friends that have left the band, they're still part of our family.
Sure.
And we treat them like that.
I do
and
too.
They
yeah.
treat us like that.
I think that's real important. No,
yes.
No bridges should be burned
right.
on it.
Well, the guitarist that Matt replaced was just out to see us last Friday night.
Yeah,
Total you know, he and his wife came out and
good.
I mean, just you know, it was Paul Bernardo and class act. You know, he and his wife, mm-hmm. wonderful family.
Yeah.
And but Paul just wanted to go in a different direction and work with his son. You know, and we said, well, you know, God bless you. Move
Amen to
and
that.
Do what you
That's
do.
Exactly right.
And then we were extremely fortunate to find Matt, and as much as he is a talent. Instrumentally and vocally, he's as good. His character is just as good.
Yeah,
and his personality is just as strong. And
he just immediately fit in with us.
We've
been
very lucky.
This is a good example. You should have checked your references, but no, I'm just kidding, yeah. Matt.
Well, you know, the great
oh, that's
thing.
Right. I forgot your reputation precedes you with some people.
Matt, we're just pulling on your leg there.
Well, you know, interestingly, Paul was really high on Matt.
Exactly.
And kept saying to us as we were going through the audition process, that's your guy.
Yeah.
That is your guy.
Right.
And sure enough, he was right.
He was right.
I got to say something about the audition process, too, because, and this goes to the professionalism of the band.
Yeah.
When Michael Doctor had known about me for a couple of years prior to being in the band and kind of put a bug in my ear one year, and I wasn't quite ready to commit to that many engagements a year because, you know, we all have full-time jobs and all that.
Sure.
And so when we finally went ahead to set up the audition, he pretty much knew he wanted me in, and Paul Bernard had already started working with the band, so he knew of me because he and I had worked in another band together. But out of respect for all the people that they agreed to take an audition with, he said, would you mind auditioning? I said, absolutely not. And he says, you know, we've got to be fair to everybody and this and that. So mm-hmm. I went through the audition process just like all the other people
good.
That they auditioned.
Very
and,
good.
And they respected the choices. And, you know, that says a lot, too, you know, about how they conduct their business.
I agree. You know. Well, you've alluded very right off the bat. Hey, we think it's important as a professional unit to be on time.
Right.
If we're supposed to start at 9, we're all on stage ready to go. I assume that when you take your break, if it's a 15 or 20-minute break, there is no rustling the cats back up on stage. Everybody gets on stage when they're supposed to.
We know what we're supposed to do.
We might have to wrestle this lead singer.
Okay. Okay.
He's a yacker, this guy.
Doug Tracy, do you want to delete that, Doug?
I might be out circulating, just making sure that everybody's having fun.
But you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Well, we do spend time on the rare nights that we have off and go see other bands, and certainly I'm not going to name any names, but it's irritating mm-hmm. to be there and expecting them to start, and they're still doing sound check 30 minutes after
right.
their
start time.
Their start time.
And yeah. the same thing holds true for breaks, because people have time clocks in their head. They know when you're
yes.
supposed to be back on stage, yeah. and people shouldn't be taking advantage of the audience.
I think that really helps us with the owners.
Oh, I agree.
They like the fact that we're going to give them 44 songs, and some of these other bands, they'll give them 35.
Right.
And yeah. That's right. the difference.
And speaking of songs, another thing that you guys do that I like, but I'll open up the discussion with everyone here, is that a lot of bands want to learn the songs the way they were recorded in the studio. But you guys do what I think is the right path, is you'll go and take a look at live recordings that the bands have done with those songs. You're covering their material. But I don't know of any band in modern day, the big name bands, that play their hit records exactly the way. The arrangements are different. And so when you guys go in and present your material, you guys are doing those arrangements. That audience gets a very neat, new, positive experience.
Well, we started out wanting to replicate studio versions. That the live versions really is an evolution of that. And
right.
it not only is it fresh for the audience, but it really is fresh for us too.
It's, you know, far more entertaining.
Play these songs 10 years, you want to make sure that you're still enjoying them
yeah.
exactly.
now, and we
exactly.
do.
Absolutely right.
I think a perfect example of that was Love and Touch and Squeezing. You know, we'd been playing the studio version for years and years and years, and I don't remember now, was it Marty or was it you?
I believe it was Michael Doctor.
Was it you that brought the live version in?
I was on the treadmill at the gym and listening to music, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. We got to do this.
That's right. And I think that should be approached by bands routinely. Take
right.
a look
I,
at what.
I don't think you want to. I mean, you always want to make sure that you're getting all the signature licks in and
right,
all the signature
right.
vocal parts, you know, because, I mean, that's how people identify themselves with the song. But at some point in time, you've got to kind of make it your own.
Absolutely
order.
Right. Once again, another tutorial has just been
right.
brought out of you. You guys, you're doing something really important, because you're doing the job of a local band, and you're doing it correctly, and you're doing it proudly. And I think that is really an important part of this discussion, is that you guys are looking at your craft, and it is, in fact, a business. And there are people who are affected, the people that hire you, the people that are watching you, and you guys. And you're doing it correctly, guys.
We actually give the owners an out. We always want to make sure that it's a win-win situation. It's going to be a win for us because we're out there playing music and we're just really enjoying ourselves. But if there's any animosity or if there's any concern on the bar owners or the other venue owners,
yeah.
Side, then we want to know about that. If we can correct it, we will.
And you will. That's
right.
And
if we can't, then we shake hands and say thank you for the opportunity and move on.
Well, I can flat out tell you that's not happening in your world anymore. You guys
are unique, and I'm really proud of that, and I'm sure everybody else sitting here is too.
Yeah, I agree with that. So everybody, we're going to be finishing up this interview. We will tell you right now we're adding a bonus licks segment to the show. So after the show airs, if you go online, you'll be able to hear some more stories. We're also going to put a few of your individual recordings up that you have done in your past. So we'll get the Stephanie Iannarino song on. And both Michaels here have gotten – I was just looking at Michael Doctor when I said that. But, I mean, the other two Michaels here also have their own content.
And Matt as well.
Venus has some. So we'll put some content up for everybody to hear as well. As you, you guys will just enjoy the bonus licks. But on behalf of me as your host, I want to thank you all for coming on this program.
Our pleasure.
And
our
I think it's thank really you. Important. You're really setting a great example for the current bands, but also the bands will be following your trail. Because eventually we all get out of this game. But they'll need to come back and pay attention to this interview.
Pat, I want to really compliment you. You do a fantastic job getting us through this. And that needs to be noted.
Well, thank you very, very much. So I will take that from the doctor, Michael Doctor. And everybody, this is These Guys Live. You've been listening to Local Licks. We will look forward to having you on our show again next week. Thank you very much, and have a great week.